And welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. Excuse me. That is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia, brought to you, of course, by Dr. Electrician and supported by the local card shop of Woolloongabba. Big episode this week. I've got a couple of guys in studio and a couple of people we've caught up with throughout the week. So let's get to the delightful gentleman in the studio. First one is our work experience kid, our whiz kid, especially now that NBL 1 North, well, excuse me, the Mitsubishi Motors NBL 1 North is just around the corner this week, in fact. But the whiz kid himself, Elliot Pittman, mate, welcome back.
Hello, hello. Ready to get a win on Friday night? So
best of luck with that. And, of course, he's back. He's the very first guest we had in the Shed of Basketball Truth. Last time he was sitting next to my lawnmower. This time he's sitting next to the whiz kid. Lucky Nuttall, welcome back, mate.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here. Definitely. I think last time there was a bird that flew in. So
I think
you've upgraded. There's no cage or protection here yet. So should I be worried or?
No. Someone, look, it depends on how you look at it. Yes, a bird did fly in. Were we in the middle of Crack'em that you were desperately losing at? Yeah, I figured it was just a phone a friend situation.
It didn't help me either.
No. But we left it in. It was fantastic.
Yep.
No need to edit that out. That's real stuff happens. All right. Well, look, a couple of other guests, of course. We've got at the under 16 state champs for boys, I was able to catch up with the head coach of Logan Women in the NBL 1 North, of course, Braden Hesselhurst. We were able to have a quick chat. Let's get straight to that now. And then after that, we'll, of course, have our chat with Katie Jeffries, the head coach, head coach of the North Gold Coast Seahawks. And they'll both obviously be going head-to-head in the upcoming Michaela Bowl, which is our first game of the season, with Michaela Cann from Logan taking on Michaela Roof from North Gold Coast Seahawks. All right, I'm here with the man himself, Braden Hesselhurst, the coach of the, I don't want to say former, but it is former champions of the NBL 1 North, and you're back, mate, for another season.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Always exciting when the season, the start of the season comes around, and got a bit of a new squad today, this year, a lot of returning faces, but some new faces as well, and that exciting, that change is a bit exciting for us to have some fresh faces. So looking forward to getting on the court after a long preseason and just seeing how we go.
And you speak of some new faces. Who are the new names that we may not have heard of that were by the end of the season where we'll be in scouts and things like that?
Well, I think the two that probably stick out is some juniors stepping up, Perseus Natara and Shani Risingjar. I think they're at the under-18 nationals this week for Queensland South, and will play a key sort of factor in those girls trying to win gold at Zilmir. So they'll miss the first week, but apart from that, they'll be main parts of our season this year. And I've likened them to basically WNBL development players, how they played this preseason. So really look forward to them showing what they can do and really being a main part of our group.
Awesome. And you talk about some of those returners, like, you know, Michaela's and everyone like that. How are they shaping up, you know, this preseason compared to some others?
Yeah, really good. Obviously, we got Michaela Cann, Chev Palvast, and Ashley Tyre. And then we got Jade Kirisome back, a junior who's just come back from her college career playing at St. Mary's and playing in the WNBL with Canberra as well. So she's part of our core, and to add her alongside Michaela in that backcourt is going to be really strong for us. And always to have Chev Palvaster, who I think should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year, and she can give us a lot more offensively this year as well, obviously with the departure of Michaela Roof. So really looking forward to seeing what in particular that core four can do. And then we welcome Kate Reese in to the fold a couple of weeks in as well. So she's been a 20-10 girl in this league, and really looking forward to adding her to the group as well.
All right. Now, I don't like to get people to talk smack about the opposition coming in. I more flip it around. With the Seahawks coming in, what are you expecting from them? What do you think they're going to do well?
Well, I think anytime you have Michaela Roof in your team, you're probably going to be pretty smart offensively and then be dominant on the rebound. So that's probably what we expect. And You know, that will be a team that's trying to find their feet with a new roster and everything as well. And Caddy is stepping into that role after, you know, well-deserved after so long as an assistant as well. But, yeah, that'll be a work in progress, but they'll be really strong with Michaela leading the way. They've recruited well, Mila Goodchild, Majeli Carey, Kendall Haramaya coming in. So that'll be really good as well, and looking forward to a tough challenge coming in this Thursday.
Now, we know you Logan Thunder guys like to put on a little bit of a show in your home games. Is there any new pyrotechnics or new high-five routines or anything to get everybody hyped up this year round?
I can't say anything to that, mate. I've just been focusing on coaching and my other 14,000 jobs. So that's up to Mitch Young and Greg Day and all the people that work here. But we, like you said, we always put on a good show here at Logan. It's one of the best environments to play in front of and coach in front of. And we're looking forward to getting back in front of our Thunder family fans this year.
And last question, possibly the most important, possibly not. We'll see how you answer it. What kicks are you going to be wearing as you step on to start this brand new coaching year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I normally go with the formal wear and wear sort of black or blue pants with either brown or black formal shoes. But I've thought of going the Luke Cairn route this year and going the blue chinos and some Nikes or something there. So I'll probably decide later in the week. You might get a surprise on the sidelines. Nothing too special. I'm not too adventurous with my kicks, but you might see something different this year compared to normal.
Mate, as always, thanks for your time.
No worries, mate.
You're listening to the Ball Don't Lie Australia podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have the other side of the coin. We've had Braden, and now we've got the other side of the Michaela Bowl head coach coin in Katie Jeffries. Katie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Seems like forever ago.
It does seem like a while, and yet it was during the off season. So
it just
wasn't like if we haven't technically started the season yet. So
no, but it does. It feels like ages ago, and then it also feels like we started preseason yesterday, and we're here already.
Yes, and we are so close to the Michaela Bowl. It's absolutely fantastic. This Thursday night's going to be an absolute cracker. But look, let's talk Seahawks. So this year with the Seahawks, who's going to step up and that we might not have, you know, heard of as a big name or, you know, in that NBL one space for the Seahawks?
I think, that's a tough question straight up. I thought we were going to ease into it a little bit, hitting the hard ones. So I think, it's hard because we've actually had, we sat down and looked at it the other day. So out of our 14-man squad, we've retained one player from last year. So bringing in 13 new phases, 13 new personalities, all that sort of stuff has obviously come with challenges, but it's also something that I was pretty conscious that I really wanted to make a change down there. So, look, I think I'm really impressed and how we've gone in preseason. I think there's a number of people that I think are going to step up for us each week. So we've got Shaylee Ward coming back from 2 years post ACL. And she was, you know, a Queensland junior right through, really high IQ, went to all the Australian stuff. So I'm really excited for her to be fit and healthy and having a good season. Obviously, our two probably ones that everyone's kind of talking about is Mila and Roof. So Mila, we've had 3 sessions now with her here. So she's obviously coming off a pretty big couple of months. She's made the grand final with WNBL, and then she's gone over to she was in the squad for the Australian 3x3 stuff in Singapore. So she's playing with a lot of confidence. And I'm really excited to see her. Obviously, she's played in the South last year, but playing in the North, you know, it's back home for her in front of her family. So that's good. Ruth, I guess, just speaks for herself in stats and what she brings and everything. So, and then so Madge Magella's come down from Townsville, again, off a good season with as a DP for the Fire, and obviously anyone that gets coached by Shannon, I probably have a pretty high opinion of. So, she's just another super high IQ. So we've got those guys. Obviously, Kendall played for Sunny Coast last year, so she, seeing her at training has been really, really exciting with the Roofs and the Mealers and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to see how she'll go in a different system. But and then we've got people like Grace Champion, who's had 2 years out. She went and played AFL last scene at Caps. We've taken one from there. Sorry, Mel.
It happens. It's okay.
Yeah. So, no, but I'm really happy. So I had a really good relationship with Gracie. My dad actually coached her sister right through junior. So we've always had a really good relationship. And she's really, you know, being around the more experienced Mealers and Roofs and all that kind of stuff, her game's kind of, even in preseason, I've seen gone to another level. So she's really one to watch. And then we've picked up Jess Ralph. She's come up from Newcastle, and she was their point guard down in the East. And again, just super smart, super physical, hard worker, you know, and she, Nicole Munger won the MVP of that league, and Ralph was her point guard. So I kind of take a bit of respect in that position as well. So yeah, I think that we've really come together really well, and I'm really excited to see, you know, it has been a challenge bringing 13 new people together. But yeah, it's so far so good, I think.
Nice. I like it. Now, obviously no one's, you know, going to know the Logan Thunder situation better than yourself over the last few years.
Yeah.
Oh, Braden might say differently, but what are you expecting? Not to throw shade, but what are you expecting them to do well in Thursday night's game?
I think Logan notoriously, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years that I've been there, I think what everyone's kind of had, not an issue with, but, you know when you play Logan that it's always going to be a tough physical game. Mm-hmm. For 40 minutes, they're never going to give up. So I expect that they're going to come out firing. Obviously, they have a bit of a point to prove, you know, with some movement during the off season, but they, you know, there's no question that they always play hard. So I think, you know, Mick Cairn gives 1,000,000% every single game and kind of drags, you know, everyone just kind of falls in line behind her. So, yeah, I think that that's just a no-brainer, that they're going to come out really, really tough, physical, kind of trying to assert their dominance. It's a home game for them. So, yeah, I think that's probably what I expect. Nice. Pretty straight up.
Yeah, I like it. Now, very important question. I asked Braden this. What's going to be your shoe of choice for that first game of the season as you step into that coaching head coach role?
Oh God, I had all these envisions of, you know, having this really kind of, we could get matching dunks or, you know, all this kind of stuff, but it's come around so fast that it might just be a classic black, you know. I've got a couple of black with some silver, you know, things on the top. Maybe I'll make them, they might make an appearance for game one.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. It's not really, I haven't been at the forefront of my mind.
Oh, come on. Style over substance is the way to win at this level.
I know. And I know I should have, this is really where Dean, this is Dean's domain. So he really should have, you know, taken the lead on this.
Speaking of which, if Dean comes out with, I believe it's a pair of Jordan 4s, send him back to the car. And just know. He was bringing fire dunks all last season, and there was one particular game in Darwin that really didn't go well, and it was in the 4s and just a bad omen. Bad juju.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's when Abby did her knee in Darwin. Yes, so fair. Yeah, well, he came to training the other day, and he was all kitted. He had all the matching. He had the purple and white dunks and the purple in his shorts. And he's, you know, he's planning for training, let alone games. I'll be lucky to, you know.
Oh, yeah, his shoe game is strong. Before the game. Shoe game is strong. And how excited is everybody to just get the season underway and really just get after it?
Yes, finally. We're finally here. So, like I said, it seems like preseason's gone for 2 years, and then it seems like it's gone for 2 days. So, but yeah, we're finally here, and it's thrown a spanner in the works, a Thursday game. So, you've obviously got to have everything prepared a lot earlier. But yeah, it's good. Good to finally get there.
All right, awesome. Well, best of luck in the opening game of the season, the Michaela Bowl. And
if we're going on that, I think we actually have two Michaelas. So maybe we'll start with an earlier.
You've gone in and upped Logan on the Michaela count already. Wowzers.
Yeah, so all I reckon if that's that might get us something. But Michaela Cann does have more letters in her spelling. They're all different spellings, so.
Of course they are, yes.
I don't know, you can really analyze a lot of it.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to the Michaela Revenge Bowl for round three, whichever way that goes, because obviously you guys host Logan in round three. So whichever way it goes, there's going to be a Michaela who's looking for a W. Yeah. So, look, thanks, Katie, for joining us. And, of course, best of luck for Thursday.
Thank you very much. We'll chat soon. Thank you.
That bowl don't lie.
All right, huge thank you, of course, to both Braden Hazelhurst and Katie Jeffries for joining us, both of them. I'm sure we'll be back at some point in the probably very near future as well. But big thank you for them giving their time this week. All right. Well, there's lots of things we could talk about in the basketball world. We could talk about Michelle Timms making the Hall of Fame. Hashtag friend of the show. We could talk about, Sobey not being in Brisbane anymore. But let's talk about the basketball ahead. Let's try and find the positive the amazing positives that are going to be happening over this weekend and every weekend moving ahead. And just like the NBL one does, let's start with the women's side of the draw. So, for this preseason chat, we won't be able to talk about every single team. We're just going to focus in on a few teams, and obviously we'll talk about every team on the show over the next 3 months as the season goes on. But, the teams we're going to talk about are just teams that stood out for, one or two major reasons. They're not necessarily going to be 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the finals, but they stood out to us as they could be towards the top depending on how things go, but injuries, all sorts happen. So let's start with the Mitsubishi Motors NBL One North, the women's side of the draw. And let's do it. Let's talk about the champs till they're the champs no more. It's not the Capitals. It's your team over there, Elliot.
Sure is.
Northside Wiz. They've had a couple of changes. Obviously. Courtney Woods going out, heading up to Darwin. We'll talk about them next. And moving in the defensive player of the year in Aaron Bowman. So not a bad switch.
No, definitely not.
So what are you expecting from them this season, mate?
Obviously, yeah, Erin's going to be massive. Like I saw she averaged 3 steals a game and a block for last season. So she's going to be awesome. And then she's also got a great core around her coming back. So Kelsey McDermott, AJ Johnson re-signed, Nadine Payne, just a solid group around her. And then also some great juniors. So Saskia Gunnis and Alice O'Driscoll, who I've seen throughout pretty much their whole careers. Like they're going to give you hell on both ends, workhorses. It's shaping up as like a full squad 1 to 12 or whatever it is. I'm really excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, definitely be interesting because I have made some changes as well. Lil Dart, excuse me, and I'm completely blanking on her name.
Georgia Dale,
yeah, of course, there, yeah. Heading over to the Caps. So some in, some out.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see. But obviously they had that great run to win the chip last year and got it done in 2, which every NBL One North final series has been a sweep on the women's side. So thus far. But yeah, look, they're obviously going to be tough. But look, let's talk about Darwin. Now you get a mention when you sign the MVP of the league, which they did in Courtney Woods. But Lucky, you got some hot thoughts on Darwin?
I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, they lost Aaron Bowman, obviously going to Wizards, so a bit of a swapsie there. Mm-hmm. And also Chelsea Brooke leaving. So
heading back to Mackay.
Yeah, heading back to Mackay. So those are two pretty big losses. Obviously, with Courtney there, they're going to be a competitive team, and you'd expect them to be in the top 6. But, I think probably looking at their squad, I think they might be a bit shallow. Like that first 5 is pretty solid, but after that, there's not many players that have really proven themselves in the North yet. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, with Courtney there, you'd expect that they can compete and should be putting up numbers and stuff like that. But I think it depends on the supporting cast, how far they can go in the finals.
Indeed. And moving it along there, we've got the Spartans. They've got a team that's kind of shaping up. Spartans on the women's side of the draw looking really strong. We might also be talking about them on the men's side as well. But look, Maddie Allen, she's stuck around since the national champions run. She's been the major piece there for a little while, but now things are starting to come back. Kalani Purcell is an amazing rebounder and just boxes out like no one else, reads the cuts coming through the key and just locks down that inside the paint area really well and just absorbs those basketballs and makes it really difficult for people wanting to cut through that space. She puts her body on. Obviously, she's back after the time off with the pregnancy. And look, Spartans, they look pretty sharp this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think the area, I think George Robinson, and I think it might be a good problem to have in one sense, like George Robinson with Cabillo, Maddie Allen, and Ariana Mora. Like, who's going to be the point guard in that team? Obviously, Abby's coming back from injury, so I don't expect her to be at 100% straight away. But once she is back, then they're both somewhat shorter guards. So how do you play that lineup? Is one of them going to be happy to sit on the bench and stuff like that? But I agree, like, across the board with the talent they have on that team, they should be competing for a championship this year for sure.
Definitely should be strong. All right, let's move things along. Rocky. Now, the two major pieces out there really haven't changed. I remember a couple of years ago, friend of the show, Lara McSpadden, when her and the Rockhampton team came to town, it was the Lara McSpadden show. And she'd put on 20 to 30 points a night. And you'd almost expect to see 10 to 20 rebounds and a few assists in there and a couple of defensive plays. Now, Rocky have gone away from that and last year and obviously signed All-Star 5 Ian Bowman. And that has been, and McSpadden almost statistically, if you're looking at the box score, has taken a little bit of a step back. But the team has taken a huge step forward and they were able to make the finals last year. Do we see them getting to that same level, fellas?
I would say so. They're looking pretty solid. I mean, and you have championship experience, so that definitely helps in a run during a season to make it all the way through. So, yeah, I would say so. I wouldn't count them out.
And especially with McSpads heading down to the Flames and getting more court time, moving away from a time at the Fire where, unfortunately, she just couldn't crack the court. Whereas down the Flames, she was able to get a little bit more time. But yeah, look, Rocky, they look good. I'm expecting big things. I'm genuinely expecting them to bounce back and be pretty close to that level.
Yeah, I'd be saying that too. I think like. Early prediction, but I'd say McSpadden would be on par to be, if not competing for an MVP spot this year as well, mm-hmm. Just because of those minutes she's played in the WNBL. But yeah, and I think I forget her name, but they've signed a player from the South as well who was pretty sharp. I remember when they did the announcement, I looked at her stats, and I think that's a good piece to add in as well. So I think definitely they would be my pick anyway to go through and win it all for this season.
All right, now. Let's talk about some tough teams. Now we're just going to fly through these quickly. We're just a couple. These aren't necessarily our picks, you know, to make the top six or the top two or the top four. They're not necessarily not, you know, those picks either, but they're teams that we think are just going to be a tough out and a tough ask, to win against game in, game out, on the women's side of the draw. I'm going to start it off, look, and I'm going to keep it civil and I'm going to make sure I mention, you know, since he's a good friend of the show, I'm going to make sure we mention Braden's team, you know, straight off the bat. Sorry, Katie, but, you know, we'll probably get to the Seahawks shortly. But Logan Thunder, they just have, and with excuse me, in Braden's time there, he's had that ability of, this team has had that ability to just find their way through. Yes, they've had Michaela Roof and, you know, Michaela Cairn and Chev, but they've made, even when they've been off the court, they've found wins, they've gritted games out, and I don't expect that culture to disappear and or go anywhere. I expect them to still be a very difficult team. I expect Logan, the Thunderdome, as they like to call it, to be a little bit of a fortress and a difficult place to go. That's been the case over the last few years. I don't expect that to change. I expect them to be a very difficult team, and I am not going to be shocked at all if they find their way to the top of the table towards the finals.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I think it's weird. I was about to call them vets, but they're probably like close to my age, something like Ash Tyre and stuff like that. So I don't want to be saying that. But I think like those three particularly that have been around the club for so long, you'd expect their role to probably change a bit with Roof out and a bit of mentoring with some of the younger players coming through. Like speaking from experience with the junior side of Logan, like they're probably one of the best clubs in terms of the female program right now. So I think it's awesome that they're getting some of those girls in. But yeah, obviously plugging the hole of Roof being gone is going to be no easy task for them.
No, it's going to be tricky because as we've talked about on this show and things like that, it's, you know, she's been almost that MVP level player. Some have argued on this show and in other forums that she should have perhaps won it more often than she has. But, you know, that kind of stuff, unfortunately, is what it is. And she obviously moves on to the Seahawks, who I think also will be a difficult game. Like, honestly, anytime you've got someone like Michaela on that squad, you've got Malia Goodchild coming in as well, who's had a hell of a WNBL season over in Perth. They've obviously, you know, made the grand final, come so close over there, just 30 seconds away from an OT or W in that game too, and taking the whole thing and then having it flip. You know, she's coming in with a lot of good form. There's a new system. There might be one or two games in there that might be a bit squiffy as they, you know, sort things out and really get going. But I think genuinely over the season, they're going to be a tough team.
Yeah, I think also probably, and like it's not out of the realm of possibility for this to happen, but like you'd expect those two to be bearing a lot of the load offensively. So I'd be expecting both of them to be averaging over 20 points. And I think they need to be able to compete because obviously we were talking about it before the show started, but there's been a lot of changes in that team. One returning player, it takes a while for team chemistry and things like that to start flowing. So I think particularly at the beginning, we're going to have to expect a lot out of those two to start with.
Which if you're a, you know, long-term Michaela Roof fan and that, you know, bumps up her numbers, that's, you know, that's probably then going to bump her back into, you know, MVP talks. You know, possible chance as well, but, you know, talks towards the end of the season, which, look, I'm more than happy to have that debate again this year. It was a little bit less than last year with the way Courtney Woods really stepped up. But, yeah, you know, last couple of years, there's been some room for debate in that space, you know. So, all right, and, oh, look, we'll throw them in. Look, tough teams. I think Caps. I think they're going to be a tough team. You know, the only signing that my daughter cares about whatsoever is of course Steph Collins, which is fine. I get that. I've also shared that with Steph. She also fully understands. But you know, you've got still got the Wall Fuller, and Hillary. You've got Lil Dark coming over and Georgia Dale, as we talked about, Tyler King-Paul sticking around. I think there's definite opportunity for some of those players to really step up and take it this year. And I genuinely think they're going to be a tough team. The flip side for the Capitals is they've got a lot of away games to start the season. The most, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, because they literally come home, finish every game, all their home games are right at the end of the season, which is going to be awesome. in some ways, and extremely tiring, and for others, especially for those volunteers down at the, if you are there watching towards the end of the season, just be thoughtful of the volunteers who are going to have to show up seven weekends in a row. Just be thoughtful and mindful of that. But yeah, look, I think they go in the mix. I think they're going to be an interesting team though, and it'll be very interesting to see how they go with this long road stretch before then having to come home.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's going to be tough, obviously, going to so many away games in a row. It's a mental battle as well as a physical one. So yeah, I think this will be good though. You got two good wizards that put in some good work and work on both sides of the floor and can shoot the ball. So yeah, I think they'll be good.
I can definitely agree with that. I'm a big fan of Lil Dart. I think maybe she's probably another year or two away from being like a solid player in the league. Obviously still pretty young and developing, but like, I'm a big fan of her game. Offensively, she's a beast, and I've seen her playing for Queensland state teams and just dominating. I know there were a lot of colleges coming after her, but I think she's studying to be a doctor or something. So she stepped away from that. But yeah, there were a lot of colleges after her. So I think she'll be a great pickup for Caps.
And fun Lil Dart, little tidbit is she's been to every NBL One Nationals. One with Spartans one with Wizards.
There you go.
So look, if that holds true,
yeah,
look out, because the Cap's coming through. But you know, obviously, all right. Now, that, as we said, we haven't talked about every single team there, but you know, there's some that stood out to us for different reasons. There are still others that are going to really step up, and you know, there are obviously still others that are going to have more of a difficult season. Like every season, not everyone can be at the very top of the league. For the Mitsubishi Motors NBL One North men's side of the draw, look, it's a little bit it's a bit spicy over on the men's side of the draw. It definitely feels as if there are some associations that have either got some fairly big name NBL players for either a steal, or they've opened their checkbooks. One of those two things has definitely feels like it has happened. But all right, let's do what we did last time, and let's start with the champs. Start with the champs. Ipswich. Now, obviously, this should come as no surprise to anyone, but the mayor of Ipswich is returning for another season. Like, had he have signed somewhere else, I think people would have that would have been a great April Fool's post for a different association to genuinely go with. I'll have a yarn to him. We'll see if we can do that next year. But look, Ipswich, they've made some changes. They've made some changes, and they've made a later announcement of Mr. DJ Mitchell, which, now, he signed last year for the Northside Wizards. How many games did he play for the Northside Wizards, Elliot? Was it many, if any?
Not many at all. We were hoping he would come back, but yeah, we were just saying this other team kept winning games, and we're like, well, it was nice knowing you, I guess. So, he would have come in really handy as well, but anyway, didn't quite work out.
Yeah. So look, we'll have to see how it goes. Obviously, Ipswich, they're the champs. They had last year, however, they had excuse me, the Sobey, both the Galloways. Obviously, Jason Ralph, huge piece, who is returning for them. There seems to be quite a few changes there, though, and it'll be interesting to see if they can run this one back, Lock.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Like, I think obviously we're going to see an Ipswich that's not an all NBL starting lineup, which is besides Ralphie. But
yeah,
I classify him as an NBL guy for the sake of this argument. But yeah, it'll be a different look for them. DJ Mitchell, obviously, both ends of the court. I think an NBL one level, he'd be able to dominate. But yeah, I think they signed Henry Bono back, which he was on their team two seasons ago, and in that he was in the starting All Star five for that year. I'm pretty sure the center. So good to get him back. I know that he had really good chemistry with Ralphie and was good friends with him off the court. So good to see him back. But yeah, I think less strength than they had last year. So it'll be interesting to see how they match up against some of the more loaded teams that we've seen that have proper NBL starting lineups.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. It's almost it's a little bit like the 08 Boston Celtics, how they went out and, you know, got their big three, and that's kind of been the blueprint, you know, for a lot of teams since. Ipswich might find themselves in a similar situation here because for those keeping score at home, Boston haven't won since, which is painful to say as they're my team. But look, you know, Ipswich, they won their first chip. Maybe they've created the playbook that now other teams are going to use. So let's move it along. And like I said, though, they're the champs to the champs no more. And they won't lose that title week one. Week 13, 14.
Yeah.
Because this NBL one North season on the men's side of the draw it just feels like it's going to be incredibly tight at the top. So it could be just like the NBL this season, how one or two losses towards the end of the season bumped you right out of standings, which I hope so because I love tight basketball when it comes down to the end of the season. Look, let's go there. Well, let's go to the Rollers, Gold Coast. Now, they've got themselves a little bit of a big three. They've got a big two.
Definitely a big two.
Yeah. And the last time these two came together, Jason Kadee and Will Magne, they both made the QSL All-Star 5 back then.
They probably would have got the QSL as well in 2020, but it was QBL in 2019. Yeah.
Yep. And look, they won the thing and it wasn't close. Since then, obviously, Magne's been on a journey. He's been to the NBA. He's one of the original Brisbane Willies that we've talked about here on the show. He's thankfully got through his health issues with his foot, had the surgery, and this season has played fairly big minutes with the Jack Jumpers, and he's come through it. He's played through it. No re-injuries have occurred, and he's an absolute monster. In certain people's discussions around possibly even a Boomer's berth for the Olympics, possibly. But you know, haven't heard that from that hasn't been said by Brian Gorgian or anything from the Boomers, but it's definitely got a lot of high level basketball people talking about the possibility. And of course, you know, slide in a friend of the show, Boston Maslin, as well. But Jason Kadee, Will Magne, it's going to be a high-powered duo, mate.
Yeah, I think the biggest question is probably because of how well Magne's been playing is how available he's going to be. Obviously, if I was his agent and the Boomers were calling and these opportunities are coming up, I'm thinking, you really want to be playing for Gold Coast? Is this the right time? Obviously, last time he was in the league, he dominated. He's only gotten better since then. The key factor is obviously Jace being on that team. I'm pretty sure Rollers will sign an import to that team as well. So whoever they get, whether that's someone that's here already or getting someone from overseas, that'll only make them stronger. So, yeah, I think as much as there's conversations about other teams being up there, I think that the 1-2 punch of Magne and Kadee is probably the best in the league.
Yes, but you don't win it with one or two. You need a genuine team to get it done. Look, let's head north. Let's head north and have a look at Mackay. Hoo-wee.
Speaking about people that must have hit a check or something, someone must have won the lottery up there. Yeah. I'll have to have some conversations with Joel.
Yes, well, Mr. Carlu's signed some players and signed some back as well. Jerron Jameson, one of those who went and had a couple of seasons up in the territory. He had a great season in Mackay before he left. Just doesn't feel as if he's hit those same sort of levels since leaving. He's coming back as well with Chelsea Brooks on the women's side as well. But there's another fella who's heading home. You know, got that, those emotional ties, pulling him back to Mackay. It's going to be big, mate. It's going to be big.
Yeah, Todd Blanchfield, I think you're alluding to there, coming home. Yeah, that'll be awesome for him. Obviously, it helps them in terms of him being able to play from them in terms of a points perspective because he is a junior. So coming home helps them a lot. It's funny because, yeah, the NBL one sent me a message during the week and they're like, oh, we want to put a little something together for Mackay. Like, who do you think's their starting lineup? And I was trying to draw it out. I honestly couldn't work it out because there's so many guys there, even with Luca Yates and stuff like that, who have been a development player with Illawarra and places like that. So, yeah, it's tough because even Manny Malou that's came back and spent some time in, I think he played with Adelaide in the NBL two seasons ago. He did, so
even off he the was back a, of his time. Yeah.
Exactly. And even he was a beast back in NBL 1. So, yeah, their team is going to be tough as hell. I think it'll just be a matter of JK. And obviously he's one of the more experienced coaches in the league, being able to manage that whole situation, who's coming off the bench. There's a lot of egos there. There's only one ball. So yeah, there's a lot of those factors I think they probably need to take into consideration as well.
Yep. And it's not just there though. Like there's a few associations that are going to have to work that out one way or the other. Cause there's only so many shots you can get up and all those sorts of things. And being, you know, and that's the thing, where not necessarily saying there's aggressive egos in those teams, but let's be honest, these guys are, you know, they're looking to go that next level or, you know, improve their lot at that level, and they want to put on a showcase of their talents. How do you do that? By getting the ball in your hands.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting, but that old saying, 95% of what you do on the court is without the ball in the hands. So there's other ways to do that. All right. Look, teams that have opened the checkbook or got people to come for a steal. Let's do it. Brisbane Capitals really seem to have been a little bit aggressive with, you know, upping the talent level from where they were last year. Gabe Hadley, Matty Johns, Sam McDaniel, and on the Rip City sort of no longer being for this season, possibly coming back in the future, but getting Izzy, huge, absolutely huge. He's been at that NBL 1 All-Star 5, NBL 1 North All-Star 5 level, obviously had that knee problem. Against the Gold Coast a couple of seasons ago, missed all last season. Hopefully he's back healthy, ready to go again for this season, and we see that Izzy of old. I just love the fact that he gives almost Cam Smith vibes from the NRL, like off the court, just sort of almost disappears. Like he's not a flashy wild dresser. Like he's just, you know, calm, relaxed looking guy, steps onto that court and it's like, holy hell, that guy can play. High IQ, everything like that. And of course, you know, future NBL star Tim Tsung is also returning. 100 gamer will be back. And look, I will literally get a message if I don't mention it. 200 plus gamer Anthony Kopska's instant defense off the bench will also be back among others. Caps look a bit more aggressive this year.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, what we forgot to mention, they've lost a big piece, my boy Nick Stoddard, obviously heading to Ballarat. Yep. Haven't been checking how he's been going, but I'm sure it's
Ballarat's winning.
Yeah, okay, well, it shows. Nick's there. He's my guy.
Yep.
Yeah, massive change to the team. On Izzy Twitter, like I remember when I was spent some time at Spartans, I was working casually and they'd have a lot of people coming in for casual shooting and stuff like that. Izzy came in every day and worked out for like 3 hours and would come back in and give me the ball dripping in sweat. And I was like, does this guy have a job? I literally had no idea. I had no idea who he was. Yeah. And then the first round of QBL at the time, he rocked up for USC and I was like, oh shit. okay. And he came out and balled. I forget what game it was, who they were playing against, but I was like, oh, okay, this adds up now. I thought he was just a random guy coming down and getting up shots, but he works hard. So I know definitely during the time he's had off through to the injury, I think he's definitely put in the work, and I think he's an awesome piece for the Caps. Obviously, the NBL guys are there with Hadley and McDaniels. I think McDaniels is going to be insane at NBL 1 level. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously with Vandy coming in, makes it a bit easier to get guys like that from NBL level to come and play the NBL 1.
Yeah, looks very spicy, and it's going to be interesting for round one there. Elliot, how are you feeling?
Yeah, what's the scout right now? How's it looking?
Are we going to Wizards now? We're moving on?
No, we're still talking Caps. We haven't moved on yet.
Don't run away from it.
Steer into it.
Oh, I was trying to move it on because I'm going to pump you guys up now. I've loved McDaniel all year for the Bullets. Like, he's just a dog on defense. He'll go get some buckets with his mid-range, that with his little back and forth. And yeah, like, Matty Johns is set up for a big year. And Hadley, we didn't see much of him in NBL, but even development NBL players playing NBL 1, they're going to be good.
His time down south was
good. So yeah, they're shaping up, I guess.
Oh, I like having you here. We can. I don't want to say bully him because gang up. Yeah, let's go with that. I like it. Welcome back anytime, Lucky. Spartans. Got to talk about them. Tyrell Harrison, absolutely balling out this season. Perhaps should have won the most improved MIP in that NBL space. We definitely talked about it here on the pod as a possibility. But either way, he's absolutely balling out. He's currently actually playing for the Manawatu Jets in the NZNBL, and brought down a just raucous 20-15 and then 5 blocks in their second game. After in their first one, they took an L against the Taranaki Airs. But look, he's balling out. He's got Nordo and, of course, Stefano Dorio over there as well. So, like, big three. Steph, if you don't step up to this level, mate. Obviously with PC in there as the coach, and of course other signings as well, but they're going to be big.
Yeah, I think so. I think the one guy that you left out there was Jared Bairstow. Mm-hmm. And I see Jared Bairstow as a Nick Kay style player. He's going to do the dirty work on that team. He's a guy that I'd probably expect a double-double from most games. So I think he's an awesome signing. Last time when he was in the league playing in the QSL in 2020 with obviously Jace and guys like that, I'm pretty sure he was averaging a double-double at the time. So yeah, I think he's awesome. Obviously, Queensland kid, good to have him back in the league and with his time at the Jack Jumpers and stuff like that. So yeah, I think they're poised to have a good season. I think it might be the first season Spartans are really set to be competitive in a while. So it'll be good to see.
Yeah, well, last year they definitely fit into that category of tough game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they really showed up, which they didn't for every game, but if they did, they were, you know, a really tough out, and they would, you know, just run all night. And yeah, just missed out last season on the playoffs by just a couple of 4 and away points, is my understanding. So look for them to really push that this year and not take the foot off the gas, even late in games. But yeah, look, they're going to be a spicy team. They're going to turn things around this season. I would not be surprised for them to make it into that top six. But all right, let's head super north and just a scooch west. You know, and the only non-Queensland team, Darwin. Now, it feels like they have opened the checkbook, emptied the piggy bank, searched under the couch cushions, because they've just been, you know, grabbing everyone, it feels, at the moment. Also, their jerseys have come out, and that orange one is absolute fire. I've got, was it the orange, the blue, and the brown? Don't mind all of them, but that orange one, it speaks to me. But Well, they've signed the former MVP of the league, and he's, in no small words, basically said, you thought what has happened before has been good, wait for this sort of thing. Is, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but I would have butchered the quote anyway. But look, it's, you've got the official MIP of the league coming in from the Jackies. You've got Noi. Who else is going? Debra George is staying. You've got Verl heading that way. Malawatch is heading back. You've even got the big fella going around again. Although I don't think he's going to get too many minutes on the court, but yeah, he's great for the fans. He's great for the kids. And as Ant has said in the past, when he is on the court, you can't get around his size. Like, he's, you know, he's absolutely huge, the big fella. So look, it's going to be interesting, but like we've talked about with other teams, there's only one ball. It's going to be really potentially tricky to get all this gelling and meshing ever so just perfectly. And yeah, look, could be tricky, but their talent level goes up this season.
Yeah, 100%. I think I would love to know if there was any conversation about what Kawhat said at the awards night a couple years ago about opening a can of whoop-ass on Darwin, and now he's playing for them. So it's cool to understand if that went down. But yeah, it's cool. Like, obviously with Darwin, they've accepted the fact that there's not a whole lot of local talent, so you basically need to fly in pretty much 12 players and accommodate them all. So it's not like I would be doing the same. Like, if you're going to spend that much money, why not put it all in and try to win it? So yeah, Kawhat coming in is huge for them. He's just signed his 3-year deal with Sydney, so you question whether he's going to be super hungry. He's not competing for a contract anymore. You'd imagine he's pretty comfortable right now, but knowing the way Kawhat likes to talk and show his game, I think he'll be on his best game possible. And the people around him are all veterans of the league. They've all played before. Even guys like Verl, like, I think he's an awesome guy to come off the bench for them. You'd expect them to be there. You'd expect them to be in the final, the grand final series. It's just a matter of, like you said, putting it all together and making sure that everyone understands their role in the team. Because there are guys like Debra George, who I think has nearly played 300 games now. Like, it's a matter of working out that role and how is his job to come in and be a sniper for a couple minutes and then jump out. Like, yeah, it's just how willing those guys are to be in those roles. So we'll see. But yeah, like I said, I think they'll be top of the mark as well.
Should be up there. All right, let's quickly tough teams very quickly. Sunshine Coast Phoenix. I put these guys in this kind of group pretty much every year because they are. And especially with the fact that, you know, especially if you've got a Friday night game up there, can be tricky to get to. And then they've been effectively building through, in a way of not necessarily spending, bringing in locals, developing the talent they've got, and building in that almost, in that natural way, without spending a whole heap of money. And they've built that culture on the men's side of the draw of being a really difficult place to go and play. Capitals have found that every season. It's even when they go in with a more talented team, it's just one of those uncomfortable places to play, and they really step up in the front of their own crowd, which is fantastic to see. So, and of course, you've got the Roberto brothers, who are both coming in healthy, and the big Max Curl, who is looking strong and absolute fire bleach tips the other day that I saw. So, yeah, look for that to be a blur through the Keyway as well. Heading down south now. Can't talk about tough teams. We talked about these guys on the women's side of the draw. Logan Thunder. Last 3 seasons they've found their way into the playoffs, but the last 2 seasons in particular, they've come in a lower seed. They've found a difficult matchup and they've been right there at the end of the game. And it's been just, if the game had ended a minute earlier each time, they would have, you know, progressed. And but as it stands, they've been knocked the last two seasons in those last few moments. They're a tough team. I've seen both their preseason, some footage of their preseason games, and they look ready to go.
They still got Brucey. The resurgence of Sean Bruce.
Yeah,
never seems. I think they'll be a really tough defensive team. The way Luke coaches them will be. Yeah, they'll be on point every game defensively. It'll just be a matter of whether they can keep up offensively with teams.
And they do look ready to go to start the season, which not everyone does in those preseason games. So that will definitely help them. And one last team to fit into that tough teams to play, Northside.
Oh, yes, that's me. So we've got Jackson McCoy. So he's returning from a knee surgery. But he's still signed to the Kings for this upcoming season, and now he's moved up from a development spot to a normal roster spot for English. But yeah, he's a 6'4 guard, shifty, crafty. So I'm really excited to see what he has to do. A couple of Kiwis from the NZNBL, so Ben Adamson and Nikau McCulloch. Nikau looks like he's going to be a sniper. He's like 18 points on 46% from three. So he looks like he's going to be a really good fit in there. And then some just dog juniors that I grew up with. So Jed Richardson, 6'10", he's filling out. He's going to just start dunking on people even more than last season. Deshaun Ross Powan on the defensive end, just dog as well. Like, you can match him up against anyone and he'll be fine. And then Mitch Stanton and Jason Angelo, bit of the same, some solid guards. So yeah, they're shaping up a bit better than last season. So let's see. Well, I'm keen to see how we go, but it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Really? No mention of their amazing coach?
Oh, we've been over D-Max already, but no. Oh, like, yeah, obviously, shout out Jamie. But yeah, D-Max is going to be awesome, I think. Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
And when we had Jamie on a couple of weeks ago, Jed was one of those players he really mentioned in that space of, you know, kid to watch and really step into that stratosphere, and he would be tracking his season. And shout out to Jamie's 2-0 to start down with Geelong United. So great job there. All right. That's, like we said, we weren't going to talk about absolutely everybody. Just going to hit on a few that have coming out of preseason that, you know, with off-season signings and things like that, look like they're going to really step up. Don't worry if we haven't talked about your team. We will. Doesn't mean there aren't other teams that are really going to, you know, have that potential to step up. For example, we didn't talk about Southwest Metro Pirate Women, but, you know, they've got Leah Scott, who's been in and around All-Star Fives for the last few years. They're adding Bronte Cork. I can go on. We just don't have time to do everyone in the league. So if we didn't mention your team, don't take it personally. We'll get to you. It'll be all right. All right, Lucky, while you're here, if people can't get to a live game and they do have to watch, what do they got to get?
So two ways, obviously through the NBL One app, jump on there. You'd be able to sign up for NBL One Plus, gets you access to all games. Obviously each week there's one game per round that's going to be on KO, so Game of the Week with John Guana. And occasionally Mel will be on there too. So, yeah, otherwise, if you're jumping on a laptop or something like that, you just jump on the NBL One website. Best ways to access the games. But obviously, we encourage you to get down there to some games. I've heard a few of the activations at Wizards are going to be quite impressive, involving remote control cars and stuff like that. So, should be good. Obviously, get down there and get amongst the crowd and be there to support your team.
Yep, and come and say good day, because I'll be out there doing different events and things. I'll actually be at the Caps Wizards game this Friday night. Everything obviously tips off Thursday for the Michaela Bowl. Obviously, that we've gone on about a bit between Seahawks and Logan. They are the only team shaping up the only associations that night, obviously women and then the men's. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday rolls around. And of course, Game of the Week with Johnny Guada. And Adam Darr?
Adam Darr will be on there. Ben Wilson will be on the boys call. And Braden Hasselhurst, friend of the show on this episode too, he'll be on the call for the women as well.
Awesome. That'll be the game of the week with the Gold Coast Rollers and the Ipswich Force.
Finals rematch.
Indeed. Should be a spicy one. Speaking of which, let's get some predictions. Boys, let's start with Elliot. Who have you got in the finals rematch between Force and Rollers?
Oh, let's go Rollers, I reckon.
Rollers? Oggy?
I'm gonna go the Force. I don't know whether Will Magnay is gonna be in, so I think they might be a bit on demand. I think Ipswich are probably favourites for me in that game.
Yeah, look, I could go a Regan Baker and just, you know, try and predict overtime, but give me the Force. Give me the Force. Yeah, just the same. Done. Will Magnay is my question mark. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. All right, Lockie, what special rounds do we have to look forward to coming up this season?
Yeah, so across all of the conferences, they're going to be having an Anzac round, a Heritage round, and a First Nations round. On top of that, in the North, we will have a Pink round and we will have a Mental Health round. So 5 different themed rounds, which is a lot. So you could see a lot of nice, colourful jerseys throughout the season. And obviously great ways to support different causes and things inside the community. So plenty of themed rounds to get behind. And obviously, if you want to keep up with those, just jump on the NBL One North socials. We'll be posting all about it.
All right. And, of course, Player of the Rounds, you guys will be pumping out this year as well.
We will, correct. I think they'll probably be doing a few more highlights and things like that, but there definitely will be Player of the Week each week from a men's and women's side. Don't ask about voting or how that's done. whether I have a role in that or not, we can leave that out.
Awesome. And No Offense Podcast, Season 2.
Season 2. Yeah, we're in the initial phase of planning at the moment, hopefully looking at a May or June launch. A few plans. Obviously, there's talks with some of the guys from maybe the Jack Jumpers to jump on. Obviously, some of the Queenslanders on that team.
Jump on. Well done.
And and we're also looking at, fingers crossed, we can organize it because I know he's based up north somewhere, but getting one of the QBL goats, Cam Tregar, on the show. So
Tregar.
So obviously had some huge performances in the QBL. For those who might not know, a 70-point game against Toowoomba. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure all of the three best scoring performances in NBL 1 or QBL history are him. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure his second highest was also 67 or something on Toowoomba as well. So, yeah, he's obviously someone that's been around the game for a long time, been involved in Rocky and Cairns and Northside. So I'm keen to get him on the show and talk about some of those experiences as well.
Yes, indeedy. All right. And now this is a more of a personal question, but the kicks of the week, is there any chance of perhaps, you know, that not necessarily being a player at some point, maybe, you know, maybe it's a referee or I don't know off the top of my head, a volunteer, maybe a commentator, maybe.
maybe. Definitely not a referee. The majority of them wear black, just straight black shoes.
So I was just throwing them in.
I think they'd struggle to get on there. But look, I don't know if you have a word to the photographer and he uploads them and maybe just pretend that you were on the court. They might fall for it, and you might get on
there. Okay, all right, cool. All right, if you're one of the commentators out there listening, just, you know, get after it. Volunteers as well. Just have a chat to your photographer. You never know.
Just pretend you're on the court.
Yeah. I did that all of my career. Don't worry, all my playing career. Don't worry. All right, boys. Quick predictions on the Michaela Bowl. Who are we taking, Seahawks or Logan Thunder? Lockie, let's start with you this time.
I'm going to roll with Seahawks for the first round. I know that Mila and Roof will be in. So I think there's a few question marks around some of the Logan players' availability. So, yeah, I'll roll with Seahawks on that one.
Oh, I'm going to just switch it up, go Thunder. I think Seahawks, it'll take them a bit of time to get their groove going. So I'll go safe a bit.
All right. I am going to Regan Baker the heck out of this, and I don't care. I'm going for OT. I think it's
huge call. First game of the season, OT. I'd love that for the ratings.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't it be fantastic? Yeah. I think, it's probably going to be a little bit tricky for Logan. Couple out. But, I think that second game when Logan Thunder head technically down to North Gold Coast, third round, I believe it is, but that second game between the two, I think that's going to be more of a spicy matchup. I think a lot of early season stuff's going to be shaken out already, and that will be possibly the better of the two games. But, give me OT. all right, and in the men, so Seahawks and Logan Thunder, the game straight afterwards. Which way are you going, Elliot?
Let's go Seahawks.
Seahawks?
Yeah. Me and Elliot have beef or something. I'm backing Logan on that one, purely just based on the fact that I know they've played a lot of preseason games. I imagine them to be pretty well-tuned. Obviously, Seahawks have had a bit of dramas in the off-season, so I don't imagine them to be at full strength and firing straight away. So, yeah, I'll back Logan.
Yeah, I'll take Logan in that one. And Elliot, we can't get out of here without talking about Caps Whiz. Let's start with the women. Who are you taking?
Oh, I don't know. Nah, we're going to go with my Whiz. Of course.
Of course. Lucky.
Yeah, I'll join them. I'll go behind the Wizards this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right, that's awkward.
we agreed this time at least.
Oh, good. That beef is over. all right. Give me the Capitals. Give me the Capitals. But I'm also going to say it's going to be, tougher ask. You know, you're going up against the champs from last year, a couple of different signings, things like that. But, major parts of that core are still together. So, men's side. Lucky, let's start with you.
I didn't want to tune in when we were talking about it, but I'm not scared of the Northside Wizards roster right now. I think they could prove me wrong. I'm happy to eat my words. I'm happy to take it back eventually. But yeah, I'm just not scared of their roster right now. I think Caps are going to be ready to go. There's a lot of guys there with a lot of talent. So yeah, I'm backing Caps on this one.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, but I'm still going to take them anyway. So I'm good.
Nice.
You have to. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
All right. I don't have to take anybody, but I'm going to take the Capitals in this one. It should be a really fun couple of games, those two especially. If you are able to get down actually jump on the Facebook page of the Wizards and get your tickets, because they will sell out.
Yep.
Probably the same deal for Logan Thunder. Jump on their Facebook pages and get your tickets if you're going to do that. And if you are going to tune in, make sure you get on the NBL One Plus app ahead of time. Get that all sorted. Last thing you want to be doing is sit down last minute and try and juggle that. It's going to be painful.
Yeah. Can I say, if you're going to come to the Wizards Caps game, bring a cushion or something, because they're very those stands are very uncomfortable for a very long time. So bring something to sit on.
Yes.
just a little tip. I got caught way too many times sitting there. So
it could be like a ballroom, like cushion or something that could be selling out the front. Yeah. You never know. Opportunity here.
Yeah. as a business opportunity for that. Sure. For sure. All right. Boys, let's get into some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em before we wrap it up here today.
Let's do it.
Local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em time. If you haven't played before, I read the back of the card so the boys can guess the player on the front of the card. Whenever I get to the name, I say somebody. Boys, just use your name as your buzzer, and let's see if we can get to it. First card for this week. And we're looking at NBL Topps Chrome 4-pack 2022-2023. First card is... Somebody's career path was basketball, despite his father and grandfather playing a combined 22 seasons in the top US Pro Football League. NFL. I don't put NBA or NFL on there, but they're probably going to pay for that, so that's why they don't.
Yeah.
He played college ball at Southern Illinois 2014-2015 and University of Nevada 2016-19, where he averaged 17 points, 9.6 rebounds in his senior year. The small forward has since spent time playing in Taiwan, Israel, and Italy. Now, the 2023 was his rookie year for United. Number 24 for United. All right, first name, think GOAT. Second name, think Neil Diamond's best song. Crickets, crickets. All right, let's flesh it out, boys.
I knew this wasn't going to go well.
All right, greatest player. It's me saying it. Who would it be?
Michael.
Yeah. Well,
last name.
I got that.
Not Jordan.
Jordan. Neil Diamond's greatest ever song. Sweet.
Caroline.
There we go. Want to put those two together?
Jordan Caroline.
Hey. We got there in the end.
No help needed. I'm impressed. Good start, me and Elliot. Oh. Here we go.
Okay. First one.
Can you show me him?
So this is the one you didn't know.
All right. Card two. Oh, Brizzy Boy.
Sounds more promising.
Brizzy Boy. Here we go. Okay. The 24-year-old is expected to be a key member in his third season at the Breakers.
Hockey.
Yellow.
Will McDowell White.
Hey. Will McDowell White. Yes, the New Zealand point guard indeed. Number seven.
Pressure's off.
Yeah. Whew. For one of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Card number two of local card chopper Will and Gabba Crackham. Somebody is a rock solid veteran point guard brought in to add some stability to the young Taipans. He finished third in all-time assists representing the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Elliot.
From
Shannon Scott.
Shannon Scott. It is indeed.
Nice.
Yeah. Gettable. All right. That splits him. Yeah. That, let's be honest. That's going to split things.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I definitely got that first one by myself. No help needed.
Yeah. Anywho, one apiece. Okay. Final card. Fourth card here for the local card shopper, Will and Gabba Crackham. Somebody returns to Adelaide for his second season after spending his winter campaigning the national team to a gold medal at FIBA's Asia Cup.
Mitch McCarron?
Mitch McCarron, it is.
A Wizards person too.
Yeah. One of the great Wizards. Yeah. Come on. I believe even his dad was on the bench for the under 16 state champs.
Don.
He was. Weekend. Yeah. Don's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, is indeed. Come on, Elliot. You've got to be better than that, mate. But yes, actually, he jumped up in the commentary booth after playing, just before playing for the Wizards against Capitals to talk about the Asia Cup championship. Just afterwards, which is delightful.
He's awesome.
Yes, he very much is. All right, boys, that wraps the show. Well done, Lockie.
Finally.
Mate, you said you weren't any good at this. So come on.
Just when I verse Ant.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, look, I'm one of the few to beat him. I still don't know how I did that. Like, it was just like I hit a Karl Malone card. Like, and he didn't even know it was a retro card. Like it just, that was just the name that, you know, everything tied to. So that was the winning card in the end. So yeah, got lucky. Mm-hmm. Wasn't skill. But anyway, boys, thanks very much for coming in and joining us. Always appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
All right. If you are still out there listening, please do jump on the socials, give us those likes, follows, all those things. If you're on a podcasting service that allows those 5-star reviews, please do go ahead and do that. That stuff really does help. We're now up to 40 different countries around the world, thanks to little things like that where we've been listened to. So thank you very much. But until you're listening to us again, just remember, that ball don't lie.
It never does.